chapter 5, verse 13. Let's see, what am I reading? 13 through 18. 16, 13 through 16. I got it. This is from the Message. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness, will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God's not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. This is the word of God for all of God's creation. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, may this word that is your word come alive in each of us in such a way that it makes a difference in how we live this day and in how we live in the week ahead. Amen. The late Bishop Ernest Fitzgerald tells of an experience he had as a young pastor. He was preaching at a church out in a rural area about an hour from where he lived, and making his way late that night after the service back across the countryside, his car began to spit and sputter, and sure enough, he ran out of gas, was able to pull over on the side of the road. He got out, he remembered he'd seen what looked like a little country store with a light on back up over the hill, and so he went back up over the hill. Sure enough, the light was on, the door was open, and there was one gas pump there. And so he went in and told the proprietor that he had run out of gas just down the hill. Could he buy a couple of gallons of gas and go down, put it in his car? He would come back up and then fill up his car and be on his way. And he said, certainly. So he put a couple of gallons in a can. He opened his billfold to pay the man, and he had no cash. And he said, I'm sorry, I don't have any cash. Let me give you a credit card. The old gentleman said, sir, I don't take credit cards. So he said, well, listen, I have a check, a personal check. Let me just write you a check. He said, sir, I don't take checks. He said, but listen, I'm Ernest Fitzgerald. I'm a United Methodist minister. I've been preaching at this little church. I'm making my way home. It's about an hour from here. If you'll just give me enough gas to get me home, I promise you I will come back tomorrow and pay you. He said, son, I've heard every story there is to be told. No money, no gas. So this young minister turned and started walking out the door. And the old gentleman said, tell me your name again. He said, it's Ernest Fitzgerald. So the man said, did you know Mr. Jim Fitzgerald? He said, Mr. Jim was my father. He said, well, I tell you what, you take that gas can you've got, go down and put the gas in your car, you come back up and fill up, and you go on home and get a good night's sleep, and the next time you pass by, you stop and pay me for the gas. Bishop Fitzgerald said as he was riding home that night, it dawned on him, I just bought gas on the good name of my father, who's been dead for 10 years. And then he thought, how can I ever repay him? He's already gone. How can I ever repay him? That's really the question I would like you to consider with me this morning. Or said another way, who are we in debt to? Who am I in debt to? Who are you in debt to? What father, perhaps, or parent, or grandparent, or surrogate father, surrogate parent, relative, friend, pastor, children, youth director, fellow church member, what teacher, what coach, what you just name, who are you in debt to? What persons or persons have made such a difference in our lives that we could never repay them? I think of my father today. People, even now, after 23 years, sometimes I'll meet and say, well, I knew your father. And they'll tell me something about him, you know, something he said, something he did, something. I grew up in such a fortunate way. I realize we all have our own backgrounds, our own stories, don't we? And those stories are varied and many. And not all of them represent the same experience I had. I grew up in such a fortunate way. I'm so indebted to my father and mother, I could never repay all they did for me. They've been gone quite a while now. I do ask myself, how can I ever repay them? I think of the church I grew up in. Again, my experience was fortunate growing up in a church with folks who loved me and taught me and tolerated me, put up with me, and all those things, you know, you do in a family. How can I ever repay them? I think of a minister named Ted Hoagland, who died many years ago. Ted Hoagland, in his retirement, was taking mission teams down east of Mexico City into the state of Puebla. And I said to him one day, I said, Ted, I know you're leading teams. If I put together a team from my church, would you lead it? And would you show me the ropes? And he said, I will. Ted Hoagland led that first team. He showed me how to do it, and I started doing that. And after many, many mission trips to Mexico and trips to Ecuador and to Cameroon, West Africa, and in-country trips, I just cannot imagine having been in ministry across the years without having all of that as a part of the ministry experience for me and for the churches we serve. I cannot imagine it being a different way. How can I ever repay Ted Hoagland? Think of all the people in the churches we've served over the years, including our time at Cokesbury, who made such a difference in our lives. How can we ever repay them? I'm so indebted to so many. I know you can't go back and do it. The only way I know, I tell you, is to pay it forward. That's the only way I know. Pay it forward. This is surely something of the message of our scripture today. As Jesus said, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God's not a secret to be kept, by the way. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. I'm not going to hide you under a bucket. I'm putting you on a light stand. So shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God. This is who we are. This is why we're here. We're here to be light. Here to be light. The very first Bible verse I committed to memory as a child that I can remember is from Matthew 5:16. It's at the heart of the scripture. It was from the Revised Standard Version of the scripture, not the Message from which we read. But it says, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to God who is in heaven. We're here to let our light shine. And Jesus said, this is who we are. It's not only that's what we're here, but this is who we are. He said of himself, I am the light of the world. But when he gathered his disciples, and this passage we read is from what's called the Sermon on the Mount. So we're assuming there were a lot of other would-be followers who were listening. He said, you are the light of the world. Not only, he said, I am light, but you are light. This is who we are. It was not a question, at least the way the scripture said, it was not a question, are you willing to be light? Would you like to be? Shall we have a conversation about it? No, this is who we are. We may be rather dim at times in our shining. We may be rather bright. We may be somewhere in between. But we're compelled to be light because Jesus said, this is who we are. And we're to just shine right where we are. Right where we are. Jesus, the light of the world, has shined his light on us. We're to just shine and reflect that light that others may see this light and give glory to God. Reggie McNeil puts it this way. He says, our job is to bless others. It's to go out and bless people. People right near, people whoever we encounter, the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the lonely, the hurting, the prisoner, the next door neighbor, the sick, the suffering, the hard to love, those in greatest need, whoever we're to just bless people. Just be light. Reflect the very light of Christ. Bring out, as the scripture says, and I love this phrase, bring out all the God colors of the world. All the God colors. There's an artist here. How about painting the God colors? You know, what does that look like? Some years ago, I was participating in a commencement exercise at Huntingdon College, our United Methodist College in Montgomery, Alabama, and the speaker for the day told the story of an area of Eastern Europe that had many factories that filled the atmosphere with smoke every day, black, dark, gray smoke, and said all the villages in around those areas were kind of covered in this sheen of gray, drab, dark color. Even the sky was that way most of the time. And then one day, someone decided that they would paint the front of their house a bright color. They all kind of looked the same because of all the smoke. And then someone else said, well, I'll paint my house a bright color. And then another one did, and another one. And then that city in that little village, the city said, we'll paint all the city buildings bright colors. And before you know it, the whole town had been repainted in bright colors. And then the village next to them started doing that, and the next one. And they went from this kind of daily temperament of just being a little bit depressed, you know, and it changed the whole outlook. It changed their whole way of going about doing work and life together because it brightened everything. Spirits were brightened. Well, the commencement speaker said to the graduates that day, your job is to go out and paint the world with all the bright colors of your talent, your abilities, and your learning, and thus make a real difference. We're compelled to shine, to bring out the God colors of light and love and grace and mercy, forgiveness and hope and promise and possibility. All of the God colors. How can we do this? How can we repay those we're in debt to? All I know is to pay it forward, to just shine, to be a blessing. I was on a trip once going through an airport. And I went by Starbucks on my way to the gate. And I paid for mine and I paid for another person's Starbucks. And the cashier said, oh, you should have been here last week. There were a line of 10 people waiting to get their latte or whatever they were ordering. And the first person in line paid for the next one behind them, didn't know them. That person paid for the next one, and that person paid for the next one, and went on down the line and said, all 10 of those paid for somebody else's. I thought to myself, you know, if complete strangers in a Starbucks line can exemplify the pay it forward principle, just think what we can do as the church. Just think what we can do as the church. For we have the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know the love of God to pay forward. We have the very light of Christ that overcomes all the darkness to pay forward. We know the saving grace of God in and through Jesus Christ to pay forward. This is who we are. This is what we're to be about, and I know this is what Cokesbury is about and has been about in many, many ways. How can we be more of that? How can we be more of that? Right where we live, right where we are. Well, when I think of who we're in debt to, I'm reminded that we're in our greatest debt to God Himself. For God is the source of light. God is the source of life. Life abundant and life eternal. God, who has given all in and through His Son Jesus, He's held nothing back. He's emptied Himself fully and completely for the sins of the world and for all of creation, every single human life. He sent His Son, the light of the world, to shine on all of creation. How can we ever repay Him? The only way I know is to pay it forward. Just pay it forward. Let me tell you why you're here, Jesus said. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. By the way, I'm not going to hide your light. I'm going to put you on a light stand. So just shine, will you? Just shine. Our youth mission team, the Crawfords, going to their mission outpost this week. We're going to be doing various kinds of things. But at the heart of it is to shine God's light, the light of His love, and the light of His grace. And that is our mission too, right where we are. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, thank You that You are the source of life and light, that You fill us with that light. You lay claim upon us. You call us. You bring us together in Your service. We pray, O God, that our light will not be dim, but it will be bright. And it will shine wherever we go, whatever we're about. For we are indeed Yours. We belong to You. So use us, O God, we pray. Help us to shine that light this week, this day, wherever it may take us. In the very name of Christ, we pray. Amen.